Welcome to the Wiley Manager Podcast, your place for just-in-time management advice, on the web at wileymanager.com. All right, welcome back to another Wiley Manager Podcast. And on today's show, Bob, we want to talk the multitasking myth.
Yes, it's a myth, Jed. I'm out of the closet now. I'm telling people that I think that it's a big old myth, multitasking. So we'll talk about what we think multitasking is. I'll suggest what it actually is, and then we'll talk about five things to do instead of multitasking and leave everybody, as always, with three things to remember.
All right, so let's start with what we think multitasking is and what eventually what it isn't.
Okay, well, we think it's good. We think multitasking good, right? And it's not. So, I mean, it's almost silly. We put this on our resumes. I'm a multitasker, right? Well, that's a good reason not to hire you, right? So, and of course, I'm being a bit of a twit here, but nevertheless, we tend to think of it as something good. I'm going to suggest that it's actually not a good thing. We think we can do a whole bunch of things simultaneously and save time, when in fact the opposite is true. Okay. That you do less. Well, you do a whole bunch of things. It takes longer and you do them less well. So it's both a quality and a quantity issue by multitasking. And we think that this is a big advantage of living in this time and space, is that, you know, we've got all these tools. So therefore, I can talk on the phone and I can send an email and a text message all at the same time. And that's a good thing. Well, I'm going to suggest it's not a good thing at all.
All right. Let's talk a little more why it's not a good thing. So what actually does it do?
Well, the big problem with this is that your brain is actually not designed to do more than one thing at once. Okay, so, and again, I'm not talking about the fact that if you have a washing machine at home, that while things are in the washer, you can't go do something else. Well, of course, that's what you do. You use that technology to take that task off your hand. That's not requiring mind share. Right. So if you can find, you know, different tools to automate things, great, go for it. But I'm talking about actually dividing your mind share, your attention at any given time. So if you divide your attention, you're going to make sure that nothing gets done well. That's just the way that it is. It damages productivity, creativity, innovation. It does all these things. So they've done a couple of studies on this. Interestingly, Harvard Business School did a couple of studies, one in 2006 and one in 2009. So in the 2006 study, they gave participants a bunch of tasks to do. And so they gave one group, they said, okay, just do them sequentially. Just get them done, right? So you got to do this, then this, then this, and then, you know, go through and get it done. The other group, they said, okay, well, here you got a whole bunch of these tasks to do, some requiring various, you know, states of mental alertness, and work on them in parallel, right? Mm-hmm. And keep switching between one another. And they, you know, I'm not going to go through all the aspects of the study, but what they found out was, is that the people that did these tasks in parallel, or that were in fact multitasking, took 30% longer and made twice as many errors as the people that just did them one at a time. Yeah. They also did another study that where they measured creativity and innovation. And so they had very specific definitions around this stuff. And what they did was they discovered that when people had highly fragmented days, that innovation and creativity, as they define these things, were significantly reduced on those days. So, and interestingly, another point about this is that it's actually a highly addictive, self-destructive behavior, right? So it's kind of, you get, you know, it's the dopamine starts flowing, right? When you're, you know, got 100 things going on at once, right? So it's kind of a rush, right? So I come back to the same thing, is that you don't put your drinking problem on your resume. So, you know, I'm not sure why you'd put another form of self-destructive behavior called multitasking and think that it's a good thing.
Well, I'm just glad to hear that there are other studies that back up, you know, what you seem to believe intuitively anyway. So this isn't just Bob saying multitasking is not a good thing. You got some Harvard Business Review studies to back you up this time.
Yeah, every now and then I read Harvard Business Review, yeah.
All right, so what do we do instead? So if, you know, I think there's, obviously it's one thing at a time, but you have some other suggestions in terms of how you might avoid the pitfalls of and the dangers of multitasking.
Sure. So I'm going to suggest there's five things that you can do instead of multitasking. And we'll talk in more detail about each of these, although, you know, we've done podcasts on a variety of these things. So it'll just be a sort of overview in today's podcast. So of the five things, delegate, automate, manage expectations, prioritize, and be mindful, or have mindfulness. So we'll talk about each of those in a bit more detail.
All right, as you've mentioned, we've talked a lot about delegating on another podcast. But very quickly, let's remind folks what that one's about.
Well, really, it's and again, in the other full-length podcast, we talk to people about, you know, how you do this and various techniques for delegating and everything else. But just for our purposes here today, is that what can you get somebody else to do, right? And what are the tasks that are appropriate for your position? So again, if you're the vice president of the IT group and you find yourself stringing cables, right, or answering help desk calls, this is really something you can get somebody else to do, right? It's sort of beyond the scope of or below the scope of your job. So you need to figure out where you live in this in your organization and what things are most appropriate for you to do and what you should be handing off to somebody else. And what you should be handing off to somebody else is anything that you can.
Yeah, almost anything that you can pass off.
Yeah.
All right. So delegation, and then next is automation.
Yeah. So this is my washing machine example earlier. So apply that to your workplace. Maybe you work in a laundromat, for example. No, the are there tasks that you can take that can be automated? So that is an advantage of living in the electronic age, in the age of information, is that there are lots of cool tools out there, some of which actually might save you some time and effort. So are there some things that you can use, right? So if you're, if you're in a finance role and you're still using, you know, Excel spreadsheets to, you know, track big chunks of the company's finance, there's probably software that can help you with that and do it a lot better, cheaper, and faster. So so take a look around for, that's a silly example, but nevertheless, take a look around for things, tools out there that might make it easy. You can either, you know, delegate things electronically if you like, or be more efficient in the things that you do have to do.
All right. So rather than multitask, we got delegate, automate, and next up was managing expectations.
Sure. Are there some things that you're doing that really you shouldn't be doing at all? So where we often see this is if somebody is moved from one role to another inside of an organization, and you know, there's always some transition in those roles for sure, but there may be some task that so you know, if you replaced me in a role, Jed, you know, maybe there's some things that I just wasn't capable of doing. So you're doing them as the guy that got promoted out of, I've replaced you in a role, and yeah, maybe there's some things I'm just not capable of doing. So you keep doing them just because it's easier. Right. Well, and that might be okay for some period of time. That's all right. But longer term, you got to get rid of that thing. Right. So you need to manage the expectations around, okay, well, what is it that I'm here to do? Again, what are my high level goals and objectives? And I'm going to be working on those things. So if I'm doing other things for you, Jed, or for somebody else in the organization that really doesn't fit into my role, I need to manage those expectations so I can stop doing those things.
Okay. So far we're talking a lot about minimizing the number of tasks that you have in the first place to help you avoid this urge to multitask.
Right. So I've made a bit of an assumption that the reason that people multitask is because they find that they've got too much to do. So again, right, I suggested earlier that the other side of multitasking, that it's just a rush.
Yeah.
And one that you know, it's just kind of cool, that you're going to need to get over that with, you know, some form of actual counseling somewhere. You know, well, no, really. I mean, if it is a self-addictive self-destructive and addictive behavior, and if that's the case, you kind of got to get over that. So I'm suggesting that that if you have fewer things on your plate, you may feel less of an urge to multitask.
All right, well, we got two more left in our five things to do differently, and the next one was prioritizing.
Right. So I'm going to suggest there's two ways in which you prioritize. Okay. So it's focus and filter. So what I mean by focus is, again, it's sort of what we've talked around earlier, is that, you know, start every day by saying, what are my big objectives for the year? What am I going to do today against those objectives? Right. So again, connect yourself to the big picture on a daily basis. So that's your focus, right? Make sure that you're applying your effort to where it needs to be applied to. The filter aspect is closely related. The filter aspect is, as your day begins to unravel and the drive-by start, which happens in any organization, that, these emergent tasks as they come through, that you use your filter again of your high level objectives or your high level goals and objectives, that a lot of these things that come by your desk, that they become noise and you ignore a lot of them, right? So this is tricky to do when it's your boss, but again, your boss comes by and says, hey, let's do this new thing, right? Well, you need to filter that by saying, okay, you're the boss, I'll do whatever you want, but that doesn't actually affect any of these. You told me that these are my five or six high-level goals for the year. I don't see where that one fits into it. So are you sure you want me to do this thing, right?
Yeah.
And maybe he or she does, and maybe, you know, he or she doesn't, and you can have that. But you're having that conversation by which you're filtering these things, these emergent things. If it comes from somebody else other than your boss, I'd suggest you say no, right? So sorry, that's not what I'm here to do. Get somebody else to do it. Go away.
It's reminding you of that urgent versus important grid. I can't remember if it was Covey or Blanchard or whichever
Stephen Covey. That's absolutely right. Yeah, absolutely right. Yep.
All right, and let's talk a bit about the last of the five things, which you have described as mindfulness.
Yeah, I know it's a little Deepak Chopra for some people, but nevertheless, it's again, I'll come back to where I started, is that our brains are designed to manage one thing at a time, right? So the further you get away from that, the less healthy it is, right? And less healthy in a variety of ways. Not only not healthy to you in actual physical and mental sense, but also you're going to get less stuff done. So you need to be 100% focused on the task that you're doing at the time, right? And then move on to the next one, mm-hmm. right? And it's really, there's ways in which you need to try to find coping mechanisms to create this space where you can dedicate 100% of your mind share. So you and I have talked again about open office concepts, and despite their
popularity.
Their popularity across the world, they are the worst thing, right? For actually being able to dedicate 100% of your mind to a specific task. So when I'm in those offices, I carry with me noise canceling headphones wherever I go. Right. And I will actually, you know, plug into my iPod or something else. I'll play some music that I find soothing that I can, you know, put into the background. And I will remove myself from that physical setting. Of course, the downside is that if there's a fire, somebody's going to have to tap me on the shoulder. I'll be dead. But the, you know, nevertheless, I try to create these spaces. Right. Another big one is be very well aware what is stealing your mind share at any given time. So the biggest culprit in my mind is email. Mm-hmm. Okay. So for anybody that sits at a desk all day, you've got that email chime where every time an email comes in, there's this Pavlovian response, right? Where, okay, the email chimed, I have to check it. Well, you probably don't, right? So people that have really learned not to let the email beast kill them are the ones that have said, I'm only doing email once or twice a day. Now, you know, I mean, maybe you're expecting something coming through. Well, that's a little bit different. Okay. Yeah. But the vast majority of the time, you should be able to safely ignore email. The only reason we pay any attention to it is because that bloody chime goes off, right? So turn off your email, check your email in the morning, and don't check it again until lunchtime. You know, right. Now, again, I realize everybody's job's different. You may not be able to do that, but I think a lot more people are constantly plugged into email unnecessarily than would probably admit it, right? So get rid of email.
I don't have the study in front of me, but this is reminding me of, you know, I'd heard before that every time you get distracted, so you're working on an important piece, it's requiring a fair amount of mind share. And yeah. To your point, the email ding goes off and you are temporarily distracted. It takes somewhere between, I think it was 7 and 9 minutes to get back to the same kind of productivity level, the same kind of mind space you were in before the distraction. So if each distraction is costing you upwards of, you know, 7, 8, 9 minutes and you're distracted a couple times an hour, there's a lot of wasted energy and time out the window.
Yeah, you betcha. Absolutely right. And you know, part and parcel of that, very closely related cousin to email, if you like, is meetings, right? Meetings just simply because they're a huge time sucker, right? And for a lot of people, they spend well over half their work week in meetings. So you really have to take a look at those things and say, okay, well, you know, again, go back to what your high-level goals and objectives are for the year. And if this meeting doesn't somehow relate to that, then get out of it. Don't go, right? Yeah. And that will give you more time to dedicate 100% of your mind to important tasks as opposed to sitting in a meeting. I mean, and meetings, again, are a great example of where multitasking, you know, how many times do you go to a meeting and there's somebody, you know, monitoring and replying to emails in the meeting?
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
So despite being incredibly rude, you know, you're either not in the meeting or you're not doing a very good job of replying to the email. Either way, it's not a good thing, yeah. Right? So question what meetings you go to and the importance of them, and that should free up some time for you to dedicate this mind share to important things.
All right, well, let's try and wrap it up for folks then with the three things for this week. 1, 2, 3.
1, 2, 3. Okay, number one is, contrary to popular belief, multitasking is not good, plain and simple.
You've made that very clear. Number two.
You'll get more done by focusing your energy than you will by diffusing it, right? So that sounds like a blinding flash of the obvious when I put it in that context, but it's actually true, right? So by focusing on one thing at a time, the good folks at Harvard back this up with their study, you do one thing at a time, you're going to get more done, you're going to get it done better, you're going to have better, higher quantity and higher quality.
And number three.
Yeah, well, it's just what we were just talking about. If you're looking for a place to begin to improve on these things, then start with email and meetings, the two biggest time killers in just about any professional setting.
All right, there you have it, the three things from the Wiley Manager Guys this week on multitasking. Thanks for your time today, Robert.
See you again.
Hey, thanks for listening to the Wiley Manager podcast. If you have some comments or questions about today's show, please let us know at facebook.com/WileyManager.